want to turn in the Word of God today to the book of Ruth, the book of Ruth and the chapter 4, the final chapter of this little book of Ruth, reading from the opening verse. And here in Ruth chapter 4, and the verse 1 we read, "Then went Boaz up to the gate, and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants, and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel, concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off a shoe and gave it to his neighbour, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Kilian's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were at the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbours, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. Amen. And we know God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let us just seek the Lord for a moment in prayer, and let me encourage you to pray that the Lord would even speak to you through his word today. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that we believe there is but one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We come to thee in the name of Christ and upon his merits. We plead the merit of the precious blood. We pray for the infilling of your Spirit, and we pray that thou wilt give help in the preaching of thy word and in the hearing too, that thy word may have free course and be glorified, that thou wilt speak to every heart, saved and unsaved alike. We pray that by your Holy Spirit you would apply your word to hearts, converting those that are out of Christ and building up and leading on the child of God, restoring any that are cold of heart. Lord, again today we commit to thee those who are led aside and those who care for them. We commend to thee the bereaved as well, that they may know comfort. And so, Lord, we ask that thou wilt have mercy upon our land, upon our nation, upon our families, upon our congregations. We pray that you will move in hearts and lives in these days. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This final chapter of the book of Ruth is taken up with the subject of redemption. A redemption which led to Boaz and Ruth being united in marriage in verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth and she was his wife. In this passage we read of Boaz doing all that was necessary to purchase Ruth to be his wife, and buying all the land from Naomi that had belonged to Elimelech, Chilion and Mahlon. You will find in the previous chapter, chapter 3, and the verses 11 and 13, that there Boaz had expressed his willingness to be the kinsman redeemer to Ruth. And now in chapter 4, Boaz is showing that he was faithful to his word. Chapter 3, verse 11, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest." Verse 13, down at the end of the verse, "But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee." And in verse 18, Naomi had assured Ruth that Boaz would not be at rest until he had finished the thing that day. So now in chapter 4, he is being faithful to his word. And of course, because Ruth and Boaz, in their relationship, picture the relationship between Christ and his church, his people, those that are saved by his grace, well, we find that there is this parallel that can be drawn. We think of what Paul wrote in Ephesians 5 and 25 when he spoke of Christ who loved the church and gave himself for it. We think of what Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and 28 where he spoke of the church of God purchased with his own blood. That is the blood of Christ. So there is this typical teaching when we think of Boaz redeeming Ruth and the Lamb and Christ redeeming his people. As well as the typical teaching, we discover in this chapter that when Ruth and Boaz were united in marriage and the son was born to them called Obed, that from that family line would come the Lord Jesus according to the flesh. And you can see that in the final verses of Ruth chapter 4, where the family line is brought down to David. And of course from David's line would come David's greater son, the Lord Jesus himself. And as we come to consider this chapter, we want to think about Ruth being redeemed by Boaz and seek to draw the parallel as Christ redeems his people. We want to think, first of all, about the place of redemption. Because in the opening verse of the chapter, we read of Boaz going up to the gate of the city, and sitting down there. The gate of the city was a very important place in those days. At They said eight legal matters and business transactions took place, and therefore going to the gate of the city, Boaz was demonstrating that in his desire to buy the land and marry Ruth, he wanted to do all things decently and in order. A number of scripture references reveal the importance of the gate of the city. For example, in Genesis 19, verse 1, you will read of Lot sitting at the gate of Sodom. Genesis 34, verses 20 and 21, you will read of men discussing and making decisions at the gate of the city. In Psalm 69, in the verse 12, you will read of David referring to those who sat at the gate, speaking against him. The place then where Boaz would deal with this matter concerning redeeming Ruth and the land was at the gate of the city. It's noteworthy that in Ruth 4 and 1, Boaz went up to the gate and then sat down to complete the matter related to the redemption of Ruth and the land. And so we are reminded in type of the place where the Lord Jesus had to go to redeem his people. He had to go outside the gate of the city of Jerusalem to purchase redemption before he would later sit down at the Father's right hand with the work of redemption complete. In Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse 12, we read these words, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." Without the gate. And in John chapter 19, and the verses 16 to 18, you will read of the Lord Jesus being led to that place where he would redeem his people. John 19, and the verse 16 tells us, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst." We think of the words of the hymn writer, "There is a green hill far away, without a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all." That is all who put their trust in him for salvation. We thank God today that after going up to Calvary, outside the city gate, and being crucified and dying, and being buried, and indeed rising again, there was a day when Christ ascended back to his Father in heaven. And he sat down. He had the work complete in Hebrews chapter 1 and the verse 3. We read there that when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Another chapter in Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 12, we read about this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Oh, in light of what Christ the Redeemer has accomplished by his life, by his sufferings, by his bloodshedding, by his death outside the city gate, and by his resurrection and ascension to sit at the right hand of the Majesty on high, can I challenge your heart and ask you, have you ever taken your place as a guilty sinner before God? Have you ever come with humility and repented of your sin, and by faith receive Christ as Savior? Can you say with Paul in the words of Colossians 1 and 14 when he wrote of Christ? He wrote, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." There is then the place of redemption. But secondly, I want you to consider the process of redemption here in Ruth 4. Because in the verse 1, we find that when Boaz went up to the gate of the city and sat down, that the nearer kinsman came back. Boaz asked him to sit down. Verse 2, Boaz took 10 men of the elders of the city, asked them to sit down. And then began the process which would lead to Boaz redeeming or purchasing Ruth and the land. Boaz was careful to do all things according to the law. Now even the 10 elders that are mentioned remind us of God's moral law, summarized by the 10 commandments. And with the witnesses in place, Boaz proceeded to declare to the nearer kinsman the situation at hand. How Naomi was selling the land. How this dear kinsman had the opportunity to redeem the land, but that he would have to marry Ruth as well. Verses 6 to 8 reveal the refusal of the nearer kinsman to redeem. And so in the process there were witnesses required, wealth was required, a willingness and a wedding were all needed in this process of Ruth being redeemed. And all these things were found in Boaz. He had brought the witnesses together. He had the wealth, he had the willingness, and the wedding would take place. But I want you to consider what this typifies. The Lord Jesus, by his sinless life, kept the law of God perfectly, providing a perfect righteousness for all who will turn from sin and trust in him. And then going to the cross of Calvary, he gave himself as the great sacrifice for sin. He took the punishment for the broken law. He took the curse of the law. Matthew chapter 5 and the verses 17 and 18 contain some words spoken by the Lord Jesus during the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." He came to fulfill the law. And then Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia, in Galatians 3 and the verse 13, he wrote, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And of course, Peter, in his first letter and the first chapter, verses 18 and 19, he writes of how those that are saved by grace, that we are redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Christ paid the full price willingly to redeem his people from their sins. He dealt with everything that stood between his people and the redemption of our souls. He dealt with sin. He dealt with Satan. You know, in Ruth chapter 4, the climax of this process of redemption for Boaz to buy the land and to marry Ruth, well, it's found really here in Ruth 4, the verses 9 and 10, because in the verses 9 and 10, we find the public pronouncement by Boaz that he had bought the land, he had purchased Ruth to be his wife, and that the elders and the people were witnesses, to which the people and elders agreed. They took Ruth to be his wife. You know, the death of Christ on Calvary to redeem his people was witnessed by many, such as that centurion of whom we read in Luke 23. And he said, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." There were other people mentioned. There were those who heard the words of Christ when he said, "It is finished." And of course, later there were those who saw the resurrected Christ. The work of redemption is complete in what Christ has done. But have you personally benefited from what Christ has done? Have you turned from sin? Have you trusted him as Savior? Have you experienced your sins being washed away? There is then the place of redemption and the process of redemption, but in the final place we consider the pleasure resulting from this redemption. When you read of Boaz and Ruth being united together in marriage, in this chapter, and then of Obed being born, obviously there was pleasure for both Boaz and Ruth. Verse 14 shows there was pleasure for Naomi. Verse 17 indicates that the people, the neighbors, they were pleased as they watched all the results of Boaz redeeming Ruth. This pleasure points us to the greater pleasure resulting from the redemption of sinners by the work of Christ. Isaiah 53 verse 10 shows us that it pleased the Lord to bruise the Savior because of what this bruising would accomplish. In verse 11 of Isaiah 53, we discover the pleasure of Christ. He's satisfied with the results of redemption. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. There is pleasure for saved sinners now when we turn from sin and trust Christ. There will be pleasures at the right hand of God in heaven for eternity. There's pleasure and joy when we see others being saved. There will be pleasure to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The hymn writer said, now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus found in me. I wonder if you experience this personal satisfaction and pleasure that comes from turning from sin and trusting in Christ. In Hebrews 11 and verse 25, it is said of Moses, that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The pleasures of sin only last for a season. And yet, the pleasures of redemption last for eternity. Oh, if you're not saved, trust in Christ alone for salvation, that you might be able to sing, redeemed have I loved to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. You know, without redemption, without you coming and trusting in Christ and what he has done, you are condemned forever to that terrible place called hell. Therefore, the redemption of Ruth by Boaz has great lessons for us in the gospel. May God encourage you, if you're saved, to thank him for redemption, and if you're not saved, to come and trust in Christ. Thank you for listening to the word of God.